now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Private Spaces Act ensures the safety of all Floridians by requiring the use of common decency standards in private spaces. This is a simple, common sense bill that requires public and private sector covered entities and domestic violence shelters that maintain a restroom or changing facility to have restrooms separately designated for males and females or a unisex restroom or changing facility. The bill limits instances when a person may enter a restroom or changing facility designated for the opposite sex. It provides penalties for noncompliance in certain circumstances.
This is Rachel Plakin, Representative Rachel Plakin, talking about HB 1521, which is now on the floor of the House. Yesterday was questions and amendments. No amendments passed, at least I don't think any amendments passed. The Democrats are always coming in with amendments and they're all getting voted down. The questions were fairly interesting, though. And so first of all, this is the bill that says that if you are a biological male or born a male, you cannot, and I do not use this nonsense phrasing of gender assigned at birth. That's ridiculous. You were born a male. Okay. You can change that gender. You can change your body. You can't change your underlying sex nature. But anyway, if you're born a guy, you cannot go into the women's bathroom. Even if you've had surgery, all the surgeries, you cannot go into a women's bathroom in the state of Florida, public accommodations, you know, prisons, schools, things like that. That's the bill. And so you would have to basically either use a unisex bathroom, you know, or a bathroom meant for one person, or you would have to go into the bathroom that fits the sex that you had when you were born, okay? So if somebody has fully transitioned to being a guy and has had surgery and has a beard and looks and dresses like a male, that person would have to go into the woman's restroom or the unisex restroom. Could not go into the men's restroom, as, you know, would happen now, because there's no law on this right now in the state of Florida. Anybody can go where they think it's appropriate, and they do, okay? And most of the time, you don't know the difference. So she goes on to say,
so if a person enters the restroom and another person believes them to be in the wrong facility under this bill, they could ask them to leave.
So if you think somebody's in the wrong place, you can ask them to leave. Now, somebody who's, again, presents as male but was born a woman goes into the woman's bathroom, which this bill would require them to, at least that'd be one of the alternatives as opposed to unisex. Do you think they're going to get challenged? Of course they are. And then what happens? No, seriously. What then? Anna Eskamani asked Rep. Plakin.
What happens when someone is challenged and says they're in the correct bathroom or changing facility? You said they could be asked to leave, but what if they don't leave because they feel like it is the correct one? Do you expect a citizen's arrest so that the person who's challenging someone's identity has to wait till police arrive to review the alleged crime? Can you maybe explain what happens in that process?
Most likely they would ask a manager or an owner to intervene at that point.
Yeah, but what if the manager or owner, what are they going to do? That's just displacing the problem by one order, right? Rita Harris?
What process should other people in the restroom or changing facility use to check another person's gender?
They would only ask the person to leave, and that would not be really their responsibility. They would, at that point, get a manager or owner if the person refused to leave, if they believed that person was in the wrong facility. And then if the person still refused to leave and had seemed to have no disregard for the law, no regard for the law, then they would, they could call law enforcement at that point.
So I'm in the bathroom in some area where there's three or four stalls and some urinals because I'm a man. And what appears to be a woman walks in. And I can say, get out. And they're like, don't think so. And I'm like, well, let's get the manager. And the manager comes in and they say, you need to leave. And they say, I don't think so. And I'm like, well, let's get the cops. And the cops come. And you need to leave. Well, I don't think so. Well, then what? Well, I mean, we're going to have a showdown. Right? Somebody's going to have to, you know, show some evidence. I guess. Or, you know, get walked out or get arrested or, I mean, it's like, listen, I agree with the intent of the law. The intent of the law is to protect privacy in spaces where you shouldn't have to be worried about whether the people who might see you in indiscreet scenarios are going to be people that you wouldn't want to see you in those scenarios. This is why we have gender-separated bathrooms to begin with, is so that you can do private things that might involve fleeting exposure of your nakedness, right, in indelicate scenarios, to people who would not, you would not want them to see that. And historically, people of the same gender who don't have that interest in you because they're heterosexual, historically, that's what, you know, because obviously if somebody is gay, that takes a very different, that's a different question. We don't talk about that, but that is a different question, okay? And now we're talking about people who are of a different biological sex, or maybe they're not. You know, if you've got somebody who was, say, born male but looks like a woman, comes into the bathroom, well, that's weird for me. I don't want that person in this bathroom either. And the women don't want that person in that bathroom either. So you're in a quandary. What do you do? Well, look, I'm with the intent of the bill, but this bill is unfunctional. This bill is going to pass, and it should not pass because there's no enforcement mechanism here. There's no plausible. Every question that comes up, they ask, you know, how do you enforce it? What's the penalty? Who's gonna check and make sure? And all, there's no answer for this because this is basically the state making a statement. The state is making a statement that it cannot enforce, it will not enforce. This is going to come to nothing, and it's you object, and then what? It's just the state saying we don't like this. And generally speaking, those are terrible bills because they can't be enforced. And there's no real legitimate enforcement mechanism here for this bill. So again, let me make clear. I agree with the intent of the bill to protect the private spaces of bathrooms for people to not have to, you know, be, I don't know, bothered in these scenarios. But this bill's not functional. And I don't know which one would function because I can't think of one that would. 437-1620, but it's going to pass, I'm sure of it. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping, Berry Hill, Dogwood, Hamilton, Bridge Road, and Glover Lane. All clear, not showing any problems there. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. And at Executive Landscaping, they're big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. 250-3756 for no hassle estimate. If you have a traffic tip, though, text it in, if you would, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. We're getting a bunch of texts in here. Somebody says, how long are these Karens going to want to hang out in the bathroom anyway? You know, call a manager. Call the police. I mean, it just seems so wild. Yeah, and Rep. Plakin, who's doing the defending of this bill, doesn't seem like she's super, like, sure of... I don't know. I think that's just more of her speaking style. Somebody said that the confidence in her voice is trailing off. The bathroom argument is lunacy is direct fallout from legitimizing these mental gymnastics in the first place. It should have never been seriously entertained. I'm not sure which one way that goes, but yeah, I mean, we're in this place because we've had so much fighting over bathrooms and gender. But I said this when the bill kind of first came out and we're talking about this, that, look, the solo bathroom is the right place, okay? Because really what, honestly, if they wanted to write a bill that would maybe be functional, it would have to be that whether you are biologically or present as, you know, like you have to go in. But there's, again, no enforcement. What's the enforcement mechanism here? That's the part where this bill breaks down. And even if you agree with a good bill, the intent of it, and it doesn't have a way to enforce it, don't pass that bill. This is one where they should come back to it next year. Somebody here says, let's see, I could see the new job requirement, you know, genital police, right? I mean, like, that's the point, is who's going to be doing the inspections? How are you going to prove it one way or the other? Somebody here says, DNA test on the doorknobs, you know, XY, you go here, XX, you go here. By the way, there is a carve out in the bill, something that I maybe hasn't been made much note of in the news, but in the bill, it does specifically deal with the question of people who are born, we used to call them hermaphroditic, but people who are born with, you know, multiple sex markers or indeterminate sex markers, what do you do with those people? The question does come up, and it's worth knowing what's in the bill.
Can you explain how this bill would treat those that... consider themselves to be intersex?
We did have an amendment that addressed that. It provides an exception for individuals born with certain genetically or biochemically verifiable disorders of sex development. And we did this because every year in the state of Florida, approximately 3 children are born in the state that are considered intersex. Thank you for that question.
And so where do they go? Well, the answer is basically they go where they feel appropriate to go. It's a carve out for them, just like there's a carve out for minor children, caretakers, things like that. This is for adults. But, you know, it's worth mentioning that as well, that that's not ignored in the bill. But, yeah, it's hard for me to see going forward. We pass this bill, it goes into law, and then what happens? How does anything change? Well, the best argument you could make is that at least now people will have a legal grounds to say, you get out of here, you creep. Because right now you don't even have that. There's no such law, right? Functionally how that works, what you're going to do with managers and cops and all this, that's where it completely breaks down for me. 437-1620. Feel free to disagree. Of course, feel free to disagree. 437-1620. When I say BMW, Porsche, Mercedes, Genesis, Jaguar, Lexus, you know, nice quality vehicles. If you've got one, you paid a little bit extra to get them. You do not have to pay extra to maintain them. You don't have to go to the dealership. It's a common misconception that you have to go to the dealership to get the maintenance done. You don't. You can take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on those cars all the time. No problem. They work on the diesel engines. Again, not a specialty. I mean, it is a little bit of a specialty thing, but they work on those all the time. Or you run around any other car you've got. You've got a, you know, domestic-made SUV. You've got a, you know, a pickup truck, a Jeep, whatever. They work on those cars all the time. No problem. Their philosophy is to prevent the problems by seeing the cars for the routine preventative maintenance. It's expressed in their website name, carclinicservice.com, like a healthcare clinic for your car. 2021 Carfax rated them a top service center, 4.5 average reviews or above. So whatever your car care needs are, Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck, because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4, so you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
Advertising, marketing, digital marketing. These are words you hear a lot about in today's world. But what exactly do they mean? How do you get started? Where do you get started? Well, you can start by tuning in to the Pensacola Expert Panel this morning at 9 to join me, Tasca King, and I'll show you how to navigate through the changing and fast-growing landscape of digital advertising. That's today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade interview the latest newsmakers and cover the biggest national stories. Weekdays 11 to 1 on News Radio 92.3.
Silence, you ninny.
Aye, aye, aye. Why don't you show me, move a bit closer? I know you want it, baby, come over. I whisper in your ear, little mama. If you want me to stay, I'ma need that thing to sway, 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 sway.
That song, I love that song. That's a Luis Fonsi song, but it came out of this show, Songland. this TV show Song. Did you ever watch Songland Candy?
We interviewed the people that did it.
Oh, okay.
You never have never had a chance to watch it's pretty great.
It's the most fascinating show. Yeah. It's not back on TV yet. I don't know if they're going to keep going with it, but it had three producers.
And writers
of songs. And basically people would come in and they'd be the original artist and they'd sing and perform. And then these producers would fiddle with the songs and make them as good as they could be in order to actually represent one of those songs and get it made by an artist. And it was a fascinating process to see how music gets made from the original version.
Oh, McAnally. I'm trying to remember the first name. He was... That
Shane?
Whole show. Shane McAnally. Yeah. Boy,
One Direction.
No. He was just a writer.
Oh, okay.
It's weird just interviewing those people because they wrote like everything that was on Cat Country.
Oh,
like,
I see.
95% of it. It's weird. There's like... I don't know. Anyway, a very eye-opening show. Yes.
One of the guys who was on there is one of the... Not One Direction. Oh, goodness. What's the name of the band? There's a couple of these bands that I get them confused in my head, and I shouldn't. I'm stupid. But anyway, a great show. If it comes back on TV, you should watch it.
Absolutely.
David Wayne's in the... Oh, sorry. Traffic first, Candy. I was going to do that, and then we got talking, and I got
there
distracted.
There you go. Excuse me. No, just kidding. No, roads are fine. We're not showing any slowdowns. I-10, I-110 reporting as clear. If you have an accident, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, I'm sorry. Text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Now David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David? Ukrainian. Oh, hold on. Oh, we're having interesting
there
issues
we go.
With your mic.
Yes.
How about that? For now, hold it just that way. One finger in the air and put the aluminum foil on your ear.
Hey, there we go. It's working. That's it. You're a genius, Andrew. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky lobbying for military support from the top Republican in the U.S. Zelensky said in his evening address on Tuesday he spoke with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and raised the issue of getting F-16 fighter jets. Senate Republicans have blocked an attempt to temporarily replace California Senator Dianne Feinstein on the Judiciary Committee. Feinstein had been recovering from shingles away from Washington. That stalled some confirmation of President Biden's judicial appointments. And after settling a defamation lawsuit from Dominion Voting Systems for more than $750 million, Fox News still facing another $2.7 billion lawsuit from Smartmatic, another voting tech company, who says Fox News spread lies that decimated their business as well.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Ryan Tedder is who I was thinking of, who is one of the guys in One Republic. And so in my brain, I'm just telling you, in my brain, One Direction, One Republic, and Imagine Dragons are all the same band.
They are.
I know they're not.
I never worked still, at a station that played them, so
right.
I'm just like,
but
yeah,
they just, you
one
know,
band.
I have trouble distinguishing them in my brain. So also, and Esther Dean, who's fantastic, also in that show, Songland. 437-1620, 437-1620. Somebody says, what about your driver's license as proof of your sex or gender for the bathroom? Good idea. However, there are still some people who are born one way and their driver's license says the other, even in the state of Florida. So that's going to be at least sometimes a challenge. Yeah, that'd be something. Certainly. And that's a whole lot easier than drop trial, right? I mean, that's one kind of answer that we might have. Oh, my God. Have you seen the photo, not a photo, the AI-generated photo that won this photography contest?
And it's a great photo.
Oh, it's a brilliant photo. Horribly creepy, the fact that it was generated with AI. And basically, the guy who generated it, he said, he gave back the award, and he said, just kidding. No, but he said, look, I don't think that AI-generated photography, or what he calls promptography, mm-hmm. As opposed to photography. It's not based on light. It's based on an idea. He says, look, I shouldn't get this award, but we need to talk about this. This is Boris Eldgudson.
I think it's very important not to call it AI photography, but to say it's something in itself. The discussion in the community came up with a very interesting term by a Peruvian photographer. And he said, basically, it's promptography. It's done with prompts. And photography was done with light before. So I think it's very important to differ it by terms.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he says...
And then to have an open discussion in the photography world, is the umbrella of photography large enough to say, okay, it's part of it because it is related. The language, the visual language is the same. Promptography learned its look from photography, but it's different at the same time. Do we want to put it into one basket or would it be a mistake?
And this is where AI is going, as the creative products are looking more and more indistinguishable from the human products and are better than the human products. Like in this case, the fake.
Better picture than one I ever took.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Great. It won an award, and the professional photographic art evaluation committee that picked it obviously could not tell. And that's kind of the terrifying point. David, what do you have coming up in your news, sir?
TSA doing some upgrades that could mean delays at the airport. More after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. House Oversight Committee members will hear key testimony this morning on the withdrawal from Afghanistan nearly 2 weeks after the White House put out a 12-page report blaming the Trump administration. The committee accuses the administration of self-inflicted catastrophe and says it's obstructing congressional oversight. Hundreds turned out for a rally in Kansas City, Missouri Tuesday night to support the black teenager shot after going to the wrong house last week.
I don't know what they go through on a day-to-day basis, being black. But I do know if we don't stand with them, they don't have a chance.
84-year-old Andrew Lester is facing felony charges in the shooting of Ralph Yarl. He's out on bond and will be arraigned this afternoon. A Massachusetts Air National Guardman accused of leaking intelligence secrets will be back in court later this morning for a detention hearing. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Well, starting next week, the Pensacola International Airport wants to make sure you're arriving early before your flight leaves to get through TSA checkpoints. Security lanes are going to be getting some upgraded CT scanners, and that work is expected to last through the summer.
So we have four security lanes with equipment. And we're basically bringing in new equipment, a better technology, and that will eventually increase the throughput of people through there also to the tune of about 25%.
And that's Airport Director Matt Coughlin. He says the TSA will be replacing the equipment one lane at a time, so at most three lanes will be operational at any given time. The Florida House expected to meet and vote on approving three bills focused on transgender people today. News Radio's Joe Ford has more.
Approval of one of the bills would send it directly to Governor Ron DeSantis, as the Senate has already passed their version. That bill is aimed at preventing children from seeing drag shows. The House is also expected to pass a bill that would prevent doctors from providing treatments such as puberty blockers and hormone therapy to transgender youth. Due to changes made by the House yesterday, that bill would need to go back to the Senate if approved today. The third bill seeks to prevent transgendered people from using bathrooms that don't line up with their sex assigned at birth, making it a misdemeanor crime. That measure has yet to be looked at by the full Senate. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Joe. A police officer hurt after a shooting in Jacksonville yesterday. Happened right outside of a hospital on Old St. Augustine Road. A hospital spokesperson says the officer was shot while investigating a suspicious person in the parking lot. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office says the officer is in stable condition today. In an effort to continue helping Hurricane Sally victims, Escambia and Santa Rosa counties are both considering a program that would allow them to buy back homes that were damaged in the storm. Lainey Burritt, Santa Rosa County's Grants and Special Programs Director, tells Channel 3 it'll probably be about a year before they know if they've gotten the grant funding.
It's a rare opportunity that became available to us. It does, in order for residents to qualify, there does have to be a direct tie back to Hurricane Sally, and also that it is for low to moderate income families, and that the space that we acquire would be green space in perpetuity.
And Santa Rosa County submitted their application for $5 million. Escambia County applied for $3 million. An Atmore man in critical condition after crashing into a log truck while riding his motorcycle. Now, this happened early on Tuesday morning in Davisville. North Escambia reporting the log truck pulled out in front of the motorcycle on Highway 97. North Escambia does say that there's a possibility the motorcycle did not have a headlight on it at the time of this crash. The man was thrown from his bike and the bike was dragged underneath the truck across the highway. The biker was airlifted to a hospital here in Pensacola. FHP investigating that crash. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Candy has a look at our traffic on the fives.
This is brought to you by the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Produce tastes better when it's grown closer to home. So eat good tonight. Look for the Sunny Fresh from Florida logo where you shop. And it's a message from the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services. Doesn't look like we're showing any slowdowns right now. Everything seems to be checking in okay. Longleaf Drive, Mobile Highway, Pine Forest, and North Blue Angel Parkway, not showing any accidents. If you have traffic tips, text them in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good Wednesday, middle of the work week. To finish out the rest of the work week, we do have highs in the upper 70s to lower 80s with sunny skies. Low temperatures a little bit chilly on Wednesday morning, but Thursday and Friday morning see low temperatures warm back into the 60s. If you're looking for our next rain chance, it's Saturday morning at 60% chances, and then a cold front moves in and cools our temperatures back to below normal for the weekend. That's your weather forecast for now. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer reporting here at WEAR News. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Joseph. And right now it is 53, partly cloudy in Pensacola, 59 in Gulf Breeze, a little bit cooler, 49 in Milton. Our next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kuchinko with Your Money Now. The CEO of furniture company Miller Noel is facing backlash after a video of her telling staffers worried about not getting a bonus to leave Pity City went viral. Andy Owen, who has run the company since 2018, told employees to focus on things they could control, such as being kind and providing the best customer service. Social media outrage over Owen's remarks took off after they were posted on TikTok, and she sent a note yesterday to employees apologizing for how her comments landed. Owen's made more than $4.9 million in total compensation in the fiscal year ending in May of 2022. The EPA says it will host a public hearing in early May on its proposed emissions regulations on heavy-duty trucks. The White House last week, as part of the EPA's greenhouse gas Phase 3 plan, directed the EPA to seek a technology-neutral approach that by 2032 could electrify 67% of new light-duty cars and trucks. And that's Your Money Now.
If you own a small to medium-sized business that kept employees on payroll through COVID, you may have a big cash refund waiting for you. The Employee Retention Credit is a tax credit of up to $26,000 per employee. And now, more businesses than ever qualify. The experts at RefundsPro.com specialize in cutting through the red tape of qualifying for this government program. Most of their refunds are over $100,000. Even businesses that have received PPP funds may be eligible. And there are absolutely no fees unless you receive a refund. So there's no reason not to apply. If your business experienced shutdowns, limited capacity, supply chain challenges, or reduced revenue due to COVID, you likely qualify. RefundsPro.com has already helped hundreds of businesses. So don't lose the refund you're owed by missing the deadline. Get started today with a free 5-minute questionnaire at RefundsPro.com. That's Refunds with an S, Pro.com.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM. 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
times where there were people leaned back in their chairs on their phones, texting people back and forth. They clearly weren't researching because they were doing a lot of texting, a lot of typing. I don't think that type of behavior is appropriate. It's not appropriate for the zoning board. It's not appropriate for us up here. You know, it's been something we've discussed before. So to do that during that meeting, clearly that individual cannot be engaged in the conversation at hand. I saw it happen a couple times. I find that to be a little frustrating.
This is Commissioner Colton Wright from Gulf Breeze Tiger Point, District 5, talking at the last county commission meeting about the meeting of the zoning board, where they were dealing with the proposed changes to the land development code. Big topic, obviously. Took a lot of time, and it was a long meeting. And I did not personally watch the LDC meeting, the zoning board meeting. I have to draw the line about which meetings I do and don't watch. There's a lot of stuff I don't watch, but I just have to say, okay, I will watch this and I won't watch that. Too much time even for me. But he said he watched some of it and he says, you know, look, it seemed to me like some of the people were not paying attention. And also, frankly, they weren't prepared, he says.
It was obvious from the conversations that were being had that there were people that they weren't prepared. It was obvious that some people had not taken the time to read not only the changes, but some of the things in the actual LDC itself, not just the white paper.
And James Calkins, Commissioner District 3, the North NJ, all that area.
I think every single one of them, every one of them, there's not a person that was on the zoning board that day that I saw that wasn't interested, that wasn't engaged.
So he's defending the board, and he says the blame ought to go somewhere else.
Where I would lay the blame is Mr. Ward and how he handled them. So I think that needs to be, I've already talked to Devan about, and Brad about how that meeting was conducted, and I think there needs to be improvement in that sense.
He's talking about Sean Ward, the planning director. He goes on, and let me just say this. I don't think I've ever met Sean Ward, but I have until this moment when James Calkins, with whom I agree rarely, philosophically, you know, I'm on his side in terms of conservative values, but beyond that, just not almost ever. So he's particularly when it comes to personnel, and talking about personnel and the way he handles these kinds of things, but we'll talk about that in a second. This is the first time I'd ever heard anybody really say anything negative about Sean, which immediately makes me think that it's not Sean who is wrong, but it's James who is wrong. But in any case, James Calkins goes on.
I also heard that there was a zoning board member, whether it's true or not true, I don't know, but I heard that they wanted to meet with Mr. Ward and he declined to meet with one of them. And so I think that's unacceptable.
Yeah, except that it comes out later in the meeting that was a misunderstanding and not that way. So here's Calkins going off, half formed on a criticism that he could have very easily just found out whether that was actually true or not by, I don't know, you know, asking Sean or asking, you know, Devan Cook or, asking Brad Baker. There's ways to figure this out anyway. So that's Calkins. OK, and he wants to blame one of the staff members, Kerry Smith, commissioner for District 2, the Milton area.
Not picking any bones here, but I want to make a point clear. I was on the zoning board that Commissioner Calkins basically insulted. So I want to make that very clear that I was on that side of the dais. Jumping your case about it, but I appreciate that you've changed your tune now.
Yeah, this is within the last 2 years, right? Okay. Sam Parker, then District 1, which is Pace.
Let me say this. Y'all want to get rid of Sean real quick? Let's badmouth him from these seats. And we have shown that we can hemorrhage employees.
That is true. And that was my first thought as well is, you know, Santa Rosa County has gotten into a place where it's a lot more stable than it was, say, you know, 2 years ago in terms of staff, even a year ago than staff. But it was James Calkins that created the chaos and created a situation where I was surprised more county employees didn't leave when I talked to county employees who are like, man, this is not fun anymore. Listening to him go off on everybody from the dais, you know, he was part of the group that pushed out Dan Schebler. And I, you know, disagreed with that decision, disagreed with the way it was handled, all of the above. Okay. And, so, you know, the chaos that had been really constant for, you know, basically since James Calkins got in there has died down a little bit. But yeah, Sam is right. Oh, you want to shed employees? Go ahead and talk bad about them from there. Just like Escambia County has done. getting rid of people by either, you know, forcing them out or making them feel so unappreciated or hated by the commissioners, particularly by Stephen Berry, that that's caused problems for Escambia County. We've seen this in both counties.
If I have a problem with an employee, I promise you that employee and Devan and Brad will know it long before it ever comes to an issue that I say it from this chair. So if I got an employee, if I had a problem with it, you'd know it.
You'd know it directly.
I've said it many times, but I can't say it enough. Appreciate each and every employee that comes to work for Santa Rosa County because, and I look at some of y'all because y'all know I've had the private conversations. You could leave tomorrow and get paid more. We've got people sitting in this room right now and watching this meeting that work for Santa Rosa County that are here because of the loyalty to their coworkers and to the citizens of this county and the pride. And some of them are second and third generation Santa Rosa County employees that are carrying on a family legacy of serving the county. I promise you, it is not because they need the job. Because our professional and trained workforce could go get a job in a heartbeat at a lot of our neighboring and competitive organizations.
Yeah, they'll take them. They'll snap them up. No problem. And I think what you're seeing here is so far it's only Kerry Smith and Sam Parker, but it's going to be everybody are basically standing up and saying, James, shut up. Because the last thing we do, the last thing we need is for you to start running off county employees because you make them feel unwanted, unappreciated in a job that they could make more in the private sector or they could maybe make more by going to another locale and working for them. Stop it. 646 here on News Radio 92.3. We'll come back to this in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing slowdowns or anything. It looks like 98 is accident-free. The General Chappie James, that is a three-mile bridge, not showing any delays. And the other side, Gulf Beach Highway, not showing any problems. Dog Track Road also clear. No issues on Blue Angel Parkway. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the meeting of the Santa Rosa County Commission, where so far, you know, you've got Kerry Smith and Sam Parker standing up for the employees. And Sam basically saying, look,
some of y'all, and you know, I'll tell you, some of them in this room, I have begged not to quit Santa Rosa County because of some of the tumultuous things that have happened in the past, and a lot of it has been from comments said from these seats right here. So, gentlemen, I make it abundantly clear, I appreciate each and every man and woman that wakes up and comes to work every day.
Comments made from the dais largely by Commissioner Calkins. He's being diplomatic and not saying it, but that's what he's hinting at here.
Man, I tell you what, if Sean, if you're listening, you come on down here, I'll give you a hug right now. That's what I feel like. This is what I wrote. The one thing I'm going to say about Sean. And look, he'll tell you, I mean, I will butt heads with Sean behind closed doors. You're going to hear me do it out here.
That's appropriate.
But a lot of times, and this is my little note I wrote a few minutes ago, he's kind of taking it from both sides, not just him, but probably him more than any staff member I know of, because he's getting mixed signals from the BOCC.
No, that's true, too, especially when they're having private conversations. You know, if Calkins goes to him and says one thing and Park goes to him and says another thing and Eddington goes to him and says another thing, what's he supposed to do? He doesn't have clear direction from the board. They're not even voting at that point. That's why they're not supposed to be giving direction to those folks. They can have conversations and get information, and if it's in their district, they have a little bit more authority, you know, kind of conceptually. But, yeah, they're supposed to take the orders as the board gives them and that come down through the county administrators, how that's supposed to work, how that chain of command is supposed to work. So Ray Eddington, who does not speak very much from District 4 Navarre.
Okay, Mr. Parker, I agree on some of the stuff you said. Let me tell you, these people that work for this county, they do a great job. Mm-hmm. And I wish everybody would see these public workers out on the street. Stop and thank them people. They do a great job for us.
Yeah, do that. So Commissioner Calkins, after getting scolded by his fellow commissioners, comes back with...
I'm going to agree with all y'all about one thing, is we have the greatest staff we have ever had. And I'm going to stand by that. But let's not forget, about a year and a half ago, we didn't have a good staff, in my opinion, and I called each and every one of them out by myself, and the community stood with me. And because of that, that's why we have a great administrator. That's why we have a great attorney. I was the deciding vote on a lot of these issues that came before us, and if I would have been quiet, if I wouldn't have got elected, you'd have a completely different staff, and that's a fact.
I would say that just a little differently. I would say that Santa Rosa County was on the verge of imploding from a staff perspective because of the chaos that Calkins created. And he got lucky. He got lucky to get Tom Danheiser and Devan Cook and some of the other people that stayed when maybe they were definitely thinking about leaving. And so to start going down that path again with criticizing staff from the dais when, you know, by the way, the kind of the notion in the Bible more is that you go to the person personally, you know, because James styles himself as a Christian, okay? And I take somebody at face value when they say they are, okay? But the Bible says, you know, you go to that person personally. And then you bring a couple of people and you go to that person. And then you bring it out in public. You don't jump out in public at the commission meeting and say all this stuff.
I ran to make this like a business. And when you run things like a business, you got to take the personal relationships out of it, call wrong wrong. You know, I give our staff hug also, but if they're not doing, you know, what's right, then I'm gonna call them out for it. And that's just what I'm gonna do for transparency to the public. A lot of people are afraid to speak up. I'm not afraid. And y'all will know that if I compliment you, it's not flattery. It means I'm telling the truth about you. If I criticize, it means I mean it. You're not gonna get, you know, I'm not gonna just tell you you're doing a good job if you're not. So at least you know that I'm real, that I'm gonna tell you the truth.
I would say that the people who don't publicly criticize, for example, staff and directors and whatever, it could be fear. Seems more likely that it's judgment, that it's restraint, that it's prudence. And that's the part where I think Calkins is missing it in terms of understanding, you know, what's effective, what's useful, what's productive, what's really going to get Santa Rosa County to be where it needs to be and keep it from going the direction that it shouldn't go. 652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you've got a beautiful lawn every year, year after year, great, keep doing what you're doing. I mean, seriously, you know, why would you want to change? On the other hand, if June comes and you're like, don't look at my lawn, that's why you call NSEC. Because what they'll do is they'll come out and they'll look at your lawn. Now, not in June, because now is when you fix this, right? But they'll look at it now. They'll do soil samples. They'll figure out what is the unique individual application time program targeted to get your lawn what it needs, when it needs it, through 8 annual applications. Right now, if you sign up for an annual lawn program, your first application is free. That includes a soil sample and lime treatment on an average size yard. And this is going to get you set up for the summer so that everything is right for you then. Of course, it's no charge to have them take a look and recommend what the plan ought to be. Also, so if you want something great in the summer, call them now. NSEC, they'll come out and take a look at it and fix it. Also, NSEC is hiring full-time pest and lawn technicians in Pensacola, Mobile, Baldwin County, and Panama City. Great pay and benefits, 401k health insurance, a career, not just a job. There's opportunities for growth. Apply at workwithNSEC, ENSEC.com.
The Pete Moore Imports lineup of Volkswagen crossovers and SUVs will fit your lifestyle and your particular budget, whether a Taos, Tiguan, or Atlas. Pete Moore offers you smart choices, starting with the 2023 VW Taos. This sporty crossover is a joy to drive and is packed with technology. Right now, a 2023 Taos SE is discounted to start from $31,439. The 2023 Tiguan SE comes with third-row seating, modern looks, and cargo capacity to hold plenty. It's discounted to start from $32,899. And for the ultimate comfort and more than enough room for your family, friends, and furry companions, the VW Atlas is built for adventure. The 23 Atlas SE with technology, now from $41,599. Pete Moore Imports has the selection and prices you've been searching for. They're not in Car City, but at 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tax, title, and dealer fees. See dealer for details.
Loading the kids in the car, brokering peace in the back seat, mastering the snack handoff without even looking. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with auto owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. We work with independent agents who keep insurance simple, so you can worry about more important things, like figuring out what's growing in that cup holder. That's simple human sense.
Ask Rushing Insurance in Pensacola and Daphne if auto owners make sense for you.
Need urgent care or a walk-in clinic? Go to ProHealth. Post-accident physical to access your PIP money? Go to ProHealth. Drug test, DNA testing? Go to ProHealthFL.com. Affordable lab work or primary care? Go to ProHealth. An affordable Ozempic medical weight loss program? ProHealth is your answer. Does your child need a camp or a sports physical? Only $40 at ProHealth. ProHealth never requires a doctor's order or an appointment. Just walk right in one of their 7 locations. Also at ProHealthFL.com.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
If you are in, let's see, Mississippi is 316. California is 491. If you are in Navarre this morning, going east and west of the Walmarts, looks like you got 331. If you're in Gulf Breeze this morning, my computer is lagging me out. That's not fun. It was good just a minute ago. 331, foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, 345 at the Exxon in proper. In Milton this morning, looks like you got 335 at the Raceway, 334 at the P. Ridge Murphy, 339 at a couple of stations going through Pace. In Pensacola, if you get over on a 9 mile, the Walmart there has got slowly resolving. 329 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. Same price at the Walmart on 9 mile. And then coming in from the southwest side, looks like 336 at the TNC on Navy. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price in your next new Volkswagen, Pete Moore Imports. .com. Candy has traffic on the fives.
I sure do. This is brought to you by ECUA, and you can help them ensure recyclable materials are processed correctly and keep the recycling program on track. Go to livegreenecua.com or download the Recycle Coach app today. It'll help you know what you need to recycle. Highway 98 is clear, and Highway 90 is clear, too, from Milton at the P. Ridge into Pace. Not showing any problems, but listen, if you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Now, David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Supreme Court expected to announce its ruling today on the abortion drug mifepristone. Earlier this month, a ruling by a Texas federal judge halted nationwide production of the drug. Last week, the Supreme Court put the ruling on hold as they decide whether to allow full access to mifepristone while the case is being appealed. One person has died. Five others were hurt after a multi-level parking garage in New York City collapsed. Video from the scene not too far from the New York Stock Exchange showed several cars crushed as a result of the collapse yesterday. Officials say they believe all the victims have been accounted for. No foul play suspected. And the Massachusetts Air National Guardsman accused of leaking national defense documents is due in court in Boston this morning. Today's hearing aimed at determining whether 21-year-old Jack Teixeira should remain in federal custody. Teixeira hasn't entered a plea yet.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Did you see yesterday, Candy, they had an invasion at the White House. They penetrated the perimeter. Somebody penetrated the perimeter at the White House.
I guess
got inside on the ground.
Wow.
Secret Service had to stop them. Yeah. Apparently a fairly small fellow, a toddler, crawled in between the bars.
A baby just got up in there?
Yes. And this is not the first time this has happened. Apparently, you know, because the bars, they made them taller recently, which means they're a little bit wider for structural stability, I guess. I don't know. And, you know, it's not the first time that it's happened. A couple of other times it's happened with slightly older children who get stuck in the
bars.
Well,
who let their toddler out in New York or in D.C.? That's like the murder capital of the world.
Well, I mean, right in that zone, I could see somebody getting away from you or whatever.
Dude,
but
it's a
but
heavy
also,
area.
It's like a double perimeter now, you know, so whatever. But that's a crafty toddler. All I could hear in my head, though, when you asked that question was, who let the toddler out?
Wow, wow, wow.
Nice.
I know. You are.
Time for future news. That's when Candy and I tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Fox has paid off Dominion, or will pay off Dominion, $750 million. Are they going to have to pay off the other lawsuits?
Yes.
You would think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
You would think, yeah. Transgender bills on the floor today for votes in the House of Representatives in the state. Bathrooms, surgery ban for minors, and drag show bans for minors. Are all those going to pass?
No.
Oh, yeah, they're all going to pass. There's going to be a lot of fighting and shouting, but at the end of the day, they're all going to pass. We'll be back.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Alex Andrade's higher ed bill being debated today in the House. Also, man and woman charged for a stolen vehicle. We'll tell you about it right after this update from Fox.